Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Samach Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Please take note of the following. Daf Samach Gimel, today's shiur will begin 6 lines from the top of Daf Samach Gimel Omid Beis. Now, for Daf Yomi purists that want to begin at the beginning of Daf Samach Gimel, then take note of the following. Daf Samach Gimel Omid Aleph is found at the 52-minute, 50-second mark of the Daf Samach Beis Gemara Markings Daf Yomi recording. I repeat, the beginning of Daf Samach Gimel you can find at the 52-minute, 50-second mark of our Daf Samach Beis recording. Of course, if you attempt to begin from there, you'll find that you are in the middle of a discussion that had begun back on Daf Samach Beis. So we now start today's shiur, 6 lines from the top of Daf Samach Gimel Omid Beis. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, you might immediately have noticed a double underline marking highlighting Rabbah and Rav Yosef. On the side of the Gemara, we have under our Mivneh, our structural note, that this highlights Maimro's statements, Shel Rabbah v'Rav Yosef, where the Gemara says, the Amri Travayu, they both say, and we will discover Mishutaf Lahem, a common theme in with regard to these statements, Hu Inyan Shel Hakdomas Mois, where someone puts money down in advance, Avur Knias Chor, in anticipation of buying merchandise. Now, our Gemara. Rabo v'Rav Yosef, the Amri Travayu. They both say, My Taimo, Omru Rabbonan, why is it that the Rabbonan say, and they agree, they teach us a type of leniency, that Poiskim al Shar Shebashuk, that means, as we've seen in the past, you can pay money in advance for the purchase of some product as long as there is an established public price for that item, even though the supplier that you are paying the money to doesn't have the item. And it goes without saying, I hope everyone is familiar with the previous dapim and you're not a first-time listener, because if you are, you would have to have listened to the material from the beginning of this perek. This halacha tells us that you can put the money down and accept delivery later on, even though the price goes up, even though you're receiving greater value than that which you paid for. Why is that okay? And we don't say that there is a problem of interest, where you extended money and waited for the return in terms of value and got more for it. So the Gemara explains, the Omar Lay, the one who put the money down, the one who paid in advance, can say to this supplier, you're not really doing me any favor by delivering me the goods later on at their increased value. Shkilo tivusech, take your favor, v'shadyo achizri, and toss it on the thorn bushes. Maya hanisli, what have you benefited me? Ihavu li zuzi bi yodi, had I kept my money in my own possession, hava mizavnino behini ubishili bezula, I would have been able to go to these communities, Hini and Shili, they're nearby communities, bezula, and bought it at the low rate when the market value came out. So you're not really doing me any favor by delivering me the goods later on, when I could have already, had I kept the money for myself, bought the products in nearby communities. Rashi points out that Rav and Rav Yosef were in Pumbedisa, and Hini and Shili are places nearby. So I could have already gained possession or gained purchase of the merchandise that you're delivering by my going to these nearby communities. We continue in the Gemara. Omar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Abaye raises a question. Elo me'ato muter luvois sa'a b'sa'a mishum de motzi omar le. Is it muter then to engage in this type of loan? We've discussed this extensively in the past. We use the cup of sugar example, where I give you a cup of sugar today and you return it to me a month later and it's worth more then, and we say that that is not allowed. Well, are you to say that it should be allowed? The motzi omale, the original owner of the cup of sugar, I should point out that a saw is simply a measure. It's a size, it's an amount of whatever, an amount of grain, in anticipation of getting that same back amount, even though it may be worth more later on. Well, we know that's not allowed. But Abaye is saying it should be allowed because he can say, Shtilu tivusech, take your favor, v'shadya achizri, and toss it on the thorn bushes. You're not doing me any favor. Diomar le, chiti dekadchi bachleboy, had I kept that measure, had I kept that cup of sugar, in this case the example of the Gemara is chiti, grains, wheat grains, had I kept the wheat grains in my own silo and not loaned it to you, would they have gone bad? Would all kinds of growths developed ruining the grains? No, I could have kept the grains in my own silo, and a month later those very grains would have been worth more, so that by my loaning it to you and you're giving me back that amount a month later, you're not doing me any favor. And yet we know that it's that kind of loan is not allowed. Sa'ah b'sa'ah is forbidden. Of course, it's a rabbinic prohibition, but it's forbidden all the same. Why then are you explaining that poiskin al shar shebishuk afot bishenlo based on this kind of reasoning, that I could have, without you, benefited on my own? Omar le, so Rav Yosef says, Hossam, in the case of Sa B'Sa, we in fact are stringent. Halva, it's a case of a loan. And the when you're dealing with loans, there exists the potential for a Torah-level violation. So that even in rabbinic-type, areas of loans, we are restrictive, we're stringent. Hachav Zvini, here, in the case of Poiskin al-Shar Shebashuk, we're dealing with a commercial venture where someone is engaged in a purchase. He's laying down money in advance for delivery of goods later on. So since you're in the realm of commerce, purchases, where there is no Doraisa violation, we allow this, we'll say, this leniency. We continue in the Gemara. Omar le Rav Ado bar Abo le Rava. You're saying that you're allowed to put money down in anticipation of delivery of the merchandise later on, based on the claim that the purchaser is not benefiting by this arrangement per se, but he is. V'ha boy le meisav zuzi le safsira. If he didn't have this opportunity to put the money down in advance of later delivery, and at that later time he wanted to find the merchandise, he would have had to pay money to a broker, a safsira. Here he's thereby, in fact, saving that broker fee. So there are two approaches to this. Omar le, Rava answers, Dekayahiv le nami. In fact, when you're putting your money down in advance to the supplier, who will supply you with the goods later on, you add a certain amount of money that would constitute the broker's fee. So once again, by your putting down the money now, you're not getting more later on, i.e. saving the broker's fee. Number two, Rav Ashi Omar, when you're dealing with someone that has money, the issue of a broker's fee doesn't even come up. Zuzi de'inshi, a person's cash, inhu avdi lei saf simuse. Before we go into the, just trying to translate this, simply let's use a crude analogy, but it's like the light bulb that attracts all the flies. When you're a man of cash, a man of means, all the brokers, or I should say all the providers, come seeking you out. So that the fact that you have cash circumvents the need for hiring a broker to find you a supplier. And that's what the Gemara means, that Zuzi Dinshi, a person's cash, inhu avdilei, they perform for him, safsiusei, the role of a broker. They find the suppliers. The fact that you have cash attracts the suppliers, and hence there wouldn't be any need for a safsiro in the first place. So that paying in advance for later delivery of goods doesn't benefit you, the purchaser, per se, even though you're getting goods that are worth more later on. On the side of the Gemara, we have an osay, and again, you can see it's the second statement made by Rabba and Rav Yosef jointly. Hakdomas mois al smach shar habochir. Here we'll speak about paying advance money based on an early price, an early price for an item. Shar sheyotze lifnei shar haboror. There's what we referred to before of yotze hashar, means the general market price for the item has been established. Here you're talking about paying for goods when there hasn't been a general public market price established, but there's called an early price. What is the early price? So we'll see a little bit more about that when we get into the Gemara. Rav Ovi Rav Yosef, the Amri Trevayu, they both say, Hai man dioiv zuzi atara harifa. Person who puts down money based on the tar is an Aramaic word, shar. Do you see the tof and the shin and are interchangeable letters? And the resh ayin, they would flip around and you'd get the word shar. So tar o harifa, one who puts money down for the based on an early price before the general public price for the item has been established. Rashi says on the third line under the Gemara text, Shehi somuch lekotzer. This is a time, I should say, this is a price that emerges right after the harvest. Shalikutos meichun bezoila. The harvesters sell their grains at a very low rate. Zeh sa'av, zeh sosayim. This sells. It seems to me from here there are sales of small quantities. The tanan masnisin deim yesh lo, if you happen to have a supply of grains and the general market rate has not yet been established, but you have the goods. Mutter lifsoik. You are allowed to receive money for it and then provide the grains later on. Vafapi shelo yotza hashar, even though the general market price has not yet been established. The Kotani, we are taught, Haya hu tchila lekotzer. If someone was one of the early harvesters, paisekim ala gadish, you can put money down for grains that he has in his pile of grains. In all of these cases, I think it's one understands that we're talking about you're paying for something. He's got the goods. You are going to take possession of it later on when their price has gone up. In the meantime, someone was holding on to money. You gave him cash in advance. You might have thought that it should be viewed like a loan, and he's giving you back more than you got. But since he is in possession of it, we can say it's as if you took immediate possession of it. Hence, you don't have the problem of ribis, of taking interest. It's not a function of a delay where you're waiting to get the return, and hence getting paid for it in something of greater value. We go back to our Gemara, where Rav and Rav Yosef say this arrangement is allowed. However, tzorech lishazuye lebei dori, the purchaser has to physically appear at the granary of the supplier. So Rav and Rav Yosef are making an allowance for putting money down in anticipation of the purchase of grains in this case, even though the public market price has not yet been established. And as we said before, this particular individual is in possession of the grains right now. Lamai, why the necessity of showing up at the Bay Dori, at the granary? Ila Mikna Halo Kani, if the appearance there clinches the deal isn't Kani, isn't clinched at that point. The deal, when you're dealing with portables, as opposed to land, is not clinched until you draw them. We call that Meshicha, and that's not taking place here. Ilik Vuli Ale Misha Pora, if it's a function of sealing the deal to the point that if the supplier were to back out, he would be subject to a curse, the Mi Shepora curse, which we've discussed in the past. Well, Kilo Mischazinami Mekabel Ole Mi Shepora, even without the purchaser showing up at that specific site, there would still be a Mi Shepora. After all, he paid money in advance. Even without showing up at the granary, there would be that problem of if the supplier backs out, he would be subject to the curse of those that don't keep their words and back out after having received payment. I just for the sake of review for anyone who might not have learned the early sugyas concerning Mishapara, the case of backing out at this point would result in a curse, but it's not, you're not dealing with a completely finalized deal. As we mentioned a moment before, you didn't make a kinyan, a formal gesture of acquisition at this point. But nevertheless, backing out would not be recommended, certainly if you want to avoid a curse. Le'olam, so we're trying to figure out why do they say it's necessary to show up at the granary? So we continue, third stage of analysis. In fact, the purpose of showing up at the site would be to establish that at this point, if the supplier were to back out, he would be subject to the curse of Mishapara. Now the Gemara gives the background why the showing up is of significance. And that is because people who lay out money based on this early pricing, the Tara Harifa, the early price, Lebei Trei Tlosa Yohiv, people will put down money amongst several different suppliers, party figures like this, the seller figures. Imis Hazile, if the purchaser actually shows up at the site, somcha daite, that creates a reliance upon the deal being completed. We'll go over this point in a minute by looking at Rashi, but first just another couple words of Gemara. The ilo, if the purchaser doesn't show up at the site, omarle, the supplier can say, amino, I figured the Ashkachas Piri de Shapiri Midi Vishaklis, that you found produce of better quality, de Shapiri, better Mididi than my stuff, and you bought from him. Let's go now into the Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is found under the Tosfos text at the of the we're looking in the widest lines, the fourth of the widest lines, Somcha Daita, Dechol Chad V'Chad. There is now reliance upon the suppliers when they see the vendor at the greenery site. V'yada Dolei Kosomich Hai Lokeach. And the supplier then knows that this purchaser is relying on him, the supplier, to provide the goods. Uschura mikuyemes hi. V'ein daito lachsor. You're dealing with merchandise that is mikuyemes, is established, and there is no intent to back out. Hilkoch im chozar bo mocher. If at this point the mocher does back out, iko lemilte b'mishapara, then he would be subject to the curse of Mishapara. So the concept of Somcha Daita, he is relying upon, means that the purchaser is relying on this supplier to supply this particular merchandise that he's in possession of. That is all, and that at that point, backing out would result in the curse. Omar Rav Ashi. Hashto de Amris, now that you have established Mishum Mismach Daita, that the significance of showing up at the granary is in order to create a sense of reliance upon. And with that in mind, we understand why there is a Mishapara curse for a supplier that backs out at that point. After all, the purchaser is reliant upon you. Why are you backing out? So now that Mismach Daita is the cornerstone of understanding the prohibition of backing out, Afilu Ashkeche Beshuka V'Omale, even if they meet in the market and the purchaser says, you should be aware, I'm relying upon you, Somcha Daita, that also establishes the sense of reliance, so that even without appearing at the actual granary site, back out at this point would result in the curse upon the vendor. As you can see, a new marking appears, a triangle shape, and on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh structural note, we indicate these are Memros Shel Rav Nachman. Comments, a series of comments made by Rav Nachman, and we begin. Omar Rav Nachman, Klola de Rabisa, the general principle of interest, in other words, the principle that explains the prohibition of interest, is when it's a function of the following. Kol agar notar le osir. Agar is an Aramaic word, schar, means payment for. Notar lay, waiting for the return of your money, usur. So wherever there is an increase that the original provider of the money enjoys, increase, i.e., when there is returned to him greater value than he extended at the outset, then you have a problem. Why? What is the reason he is getting the greater value later? Because he was willing to wait for the return of the money. We've learned in the past cases that are actually in contrast with this, where you can receive more than you gave, but in those cases there was no waiting for the money. There was no time factor between or distancing the time of your giving the money from the time that you receive it in return. For example, if you meet someone in the street and right now you don't have cash but you really want to buy a can of soft drink, and you say, listen, I need a dollar to buy the can of soft drink, would you give me a dollar? I've got money in my house, I've got a whole safe full of money, give me a dollar, I'll give you back $1.50 from the money that I have in my house that I am currently in possession of right now. In a case like that, there's no built-in time factor causing the delay of the repayment. It's a technical factor that I don't have immediate, I don't have physical access to it because it's in my house, down, it's two blocks away, it's not right now in my pocket. Or we had cases, Achiovo Bini, O Acham Tzamafteach, my son has the money with him, or I until I find the key to get to the money. Those are all situations of current possession of funds, and the reason there isn't immediate payback of it is for technical reasons, but it's not because of a built-in time factor. Wait a few months till I pay you back, or in cases of commercial transactions, wait a few months until I provide you with the goods. When you get into an agar notarle situation, schar, for waiting, then you are into a problem. And when you're dealing with loans that have a built-in delay factor regarding the return of the money, then if there is going to be greater return than was received, greater amount return than was received, you're involved with a Torah-level violation. The Gemara continues, V'omer Rav Nachman, Hai man diyohiv zuzi l'kira. Person paid money ahead of time to a kira, that's a wax supplier. The ko'azli dalid dalid. And 4 units of wax go for 1 zuz. The omar le yahivna loch hey hey. And the supplier says, you know, you're paying me, you're advancing the money to me, the zuz is a form of currency, a denomination of currency. I'll give you 5 per zuz. So you have in a situation of someone advancing money, supplier agreeing to supply more than the going rate. Well, isnu gabe shori, if he's in current possession of it, it's okay. He's simply selling him something at a reduced rate. There's no interest problem, as we indicated just a moment before. There's no delay factor. Lesnu gabe osir, if the vendor is not in possession of it, of the wax, then this arrangement would be prohibited. The thought being that because the purchaser is advancing the money, and the supplier doesn't have the wax right now, the supplier is willing to give him more in return than his money usually would actually buy in appreciation or in payment for his waiting for the delivery of the goods. So in the case of lesnu gabe osir, that seems to be pshita, that seems to be obviously prohibited. Do you need Rav Nachman to tell you that? Lo tzricha, no, it is necessary for Rav Nachman to teach me this din, de is le ashroi b'masa. The person receiving the money in this case, we'll call him the wax supplier, he himself had paid his suppliers money waiting for the delivery of the wax to him. So that you have a supplier, it's true, he doesn't have the wax in his possession, but the motion has been set in. It has been set into motion already. His ability to acquire the wax, mahu detemo. I might have thought without Rav Nachman, kevon de isle ashroi b'masa, since he, this particular supplier, had himself paid money for a wax delivery. It's as if he's in current possession of it. These are examples that we just discussed before. It's like a case of someone who has the means of paying back, but he's waiting for his son to open the door, or he's waiting till he finds the key, which, as we said before, those cases are, we'll say, delays in the repayment, but not because of a time factor, but rather because of a technical factor to current inaccessibility that will be solved when my son comes around or I find the key. So I would have thought to associate this case with those examples. Komash Malon, Kevon de Mechseri Guvaina. So Rav Nachman informs us through his teaching that since the suppliers of ownership of that wax that he paid for is lacking guvaino. He hasn't collected it yet. He hasn't made a kinyan on it yet. All he did was pay money for it, but he didn't make an actual gesture of acquisition. Keman de les nudomi. It's as if it's not around. And because of that, we understand why it is forbidden. But it's not the case Rav Nachman was addressing was this situation of Islay Ashroy v'maso. Maso literally is in town. The supplier who just received the money from the customer had paid money to the wax producers who haven't physically provided the wax yet. The Gemara continues, V'omar Rav Nachman, Haiman de Oizif Pshiti Mechavre, Ve'ishkach Be Tufaino. Now here we have a new din. It's part of a series of Rav Nachman comments, but this is a seemingly unrelated point. On the side, we have a topic heading, Shnayim Shesikmu Beinayim Al Halva. Two that agreed to a loan. In other words, someone agreed to loan, Mr. A agreed to loan to Mr. B money. Umotza Haloiva Shekibel Yoisir Kesef Mima Shesikmu. And the borrower, when the money is delivered to him, finds more money than they had agreed upon. So, V'omar Rav Nachman, Haiman De'oizif Pshiti Mechavre. Someone who is borrowing money from his friend. V'ashkach Be Tufaino. The one who received the money finds in amongst the money more than they had agreed to. Rashi says, second line from the bottom, V'ishkach tufaino, zeh shekibel hamois, motza ban yoser rimah she'omar lo chaveri, found more than they had agreed upon. I b'chdei shadas toye, mechayev ladurei lei. If it's an amount that's within the realm of, within the margin of error, within the realm of error, the Rashi says at the bottom line, I b'chdei shadas toya, the ikol lemeimar to hamalve b'cheshbon v'lo yoda b'hen. The malve, the lender, made a mistake in his calculation, and he wasn't aware when he delivered the money. Chayav zelach zirolo, the receiver, the borrower, has to return that. The Gemara very shortly will explain what is meant by b'chdei shadas toya. Let's go on in the Gemara text, three lines from the bottom. V'ilav, if you're dealing with an amount of money that's not, we would say, not an amount or within the realm of error, matona ba'alma hu diyohiv lei, then the receiver of the money can assume that he is receiving a gift. What do you mean by that? An amount that's within the, we'll say, the margin or realm of error, that people could make a mistake. Omar Rav Acha Breid Rav Yosef. We continue at the top of Daf Samach Dalin. Be'isu Raisa Ve'chum Shaisa. Isu Raisa, from the word Eser, tens. Chum Shaisa, fives. People often count monies, amounts of monies, by counting 10, 20, 30, 40, etc., or 5, 10, 15, 20, etc. So that if, let us say, there was an agreement to borrow $50, so the monies were counted out, 10, 20, 30, five times if you were dealing with piles of coins, of, let's say, dollar coins. So people would count out piles of coins, each pile having 10, and he would count them all out like that, each pile representing 10. So if the agreement was to receive, let us say, $50, so the lender would be expected to have set aside, to count out, 5 piles of 10. He may have counted 6 piles of 10. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In each pile, 10. So instead of providing $50, he provided $60. So in our example, the borrower would have to give back immediately $10. The mistake haven't been made. Instead of counting 5 times, the lender counted out 6 times, 6 piles of 10. However, if the agreement had been made to borrow $50 and he receives $53, that $3 extra doesn't figure into the realm of the way they counted things. So we're told here by Rav Nachman that you can assume, therefore, that it was a gift. Omar Lei Rav Acha Brei de Ravo le Ravashi. Here we have a double underline marking, and on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh, we indicate Mikrim Le Sofim, additional examples or cases, Shafapi De Ein Lahazbir Ha'odef Kimaton, even though in these cases we can't use the gift explanation, Bechalzos Ein Soch Lazir, still the receiver will not have to return the extra money. So Rav Acha asks Rav Ashi, V'inish Takifahu, if the lender is a tough guy, Takifa means strong or tough guy, Delo Yoiv Maton, he's not the type of person that gives gifts. My, what then will we say regarding those extra coins? Omar Lei, so Rav Ashi answers, Dilmo Migzal Gazle V'ivla Lei B'cheshbon. Maybe in the past, this lender actually stole money from the borrower, and it's his opportunity now to return the money, so he includes it, he enables it, Ivla literally is a term meaning absorbed, it's absorbed in the quantity, the accounting here. Tesanyo, Hagezel is Chaveru V'ivla Lo B'cheshbon, Yotza. If someone had stolen from someone in the past, and later on they encountered one another, and let's say the thief bought something from the victim, and the thief paid a little more for it than the item cost. That's hivliya lo b'cheshbon yotza. He has fulfilled his requirement of returning the stolen amount. The e inish de osi me'alma de lo shoka v'tori b'hadei my iko lemeimar. Let's say the person from whom you're borrowing the money is someone that came from far away. You never had any dealings with him. Then how can we account for the extra amount of money? It's not a gift, and it's not something that he, this foreigner man coming from the distance, would have ever stolen from him. So we explain Dilmo ina shachrino gazle. The possibility is that someone else actually stole from this guy, the one who's borrowing the money now. And the Amalei, and the real thief said to this guy who's Osi Me'almo, who's coming from far away, the thief said to him, Ki Yosef Ploni Pshiti Minach, when so-and-so borrows money from you, Ivla Lei B'cheshbon, included in the amount of money. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.